You're listening to All Marine Radio, broadcasting from Costa Mesa, California, on the All Warrior Radio Network.
To the last Friday officially of the summer. Yeah, how about that? Labor Day weekend coming up in a week. Then we're into September. Summer over. College football starts. NFL starts after that. Yeah, so if you keep track of the calendar by athletic events, football gonna get going. And then hockey after that. So we all have that to look forward to. Yesterday, Bob Nielsen got honored. Pretty cool stuff. And he sent me a couple pictures this morning. And so I called him. I said, he said, as usual, what are you doing up so early? I said, what do you mean? Like, I don't sleep. So, like, are you kidding me? And, no, he was, Bob was recognized by the Congressional Medal of Honor Society. And there's some great pictures of Bob with Colonel Barnum and in a small gathering in Washington, D.C., Bob and his family and the people that he's worked with for all these years and trying to take care of veterans, trying to get them jobs and create opportunities, encourage them to do the things that they do. And so it's so much deserved congratulations. The award is entitled the Congressional Medal of Honor Society's Citizen Honor for Acts of Service. And the press release says, this society of military heroes selects U.S. citizens and community organizations for their acts of courage and selfless service, which epitomize the American spirit. The Congressional of Honor Society is looking forward to honoring Bob's dedication to the armed forces and their family. And then it goes through a litany of the things that Bob has done. And so, you know, some of the things that he's done, right? Over 3,000 visits to Walter Reed in Washington, D.C., right? Started a scholarship for wounded veterans with the Urban Land Institute, raising $250,000. Part of the Turner construction team who built the Military Advanced Training Center as a temporary amputee center at Walter Reed. Built the National Intrepid Center for Excellence to care for traumatic brain injuries at Walter Reed. And built a new Fort Belvoir Community Hospital in Northern Virginia. He also convinced Turner to start a wounded veterans internship hiring program, which resulted in 50 employed veterans hired by Turner, its subcontractors and owners. He then starts the 100 Entrepreneurs Project almost 10 years ago. They have hosted almost 3,000 participants that include wounded warriors, caregivers, healthcare providers, children, and therapy dogs, all without government help. Now, again, he's been doing this since Vietnam. And he was the guy, right? He's the guy who saw what All Marine Radio was and got it faster than anybody. And then he stood behind it. As I said, he's the godfather of All Marine Radio. He's hosted several golf tournaments in the community to raise money for service members attached to Walter Reed. He's a board member of Semper Max, right? Tim Maxwell, Tim and Shannon Maxwell, a nonprofit that focuses on TBI and post-traumatic stress. He's also a big supporter of All Marine Radio, a daily radio station focused on everything Marine. Bob and the host, Michael McNamara, are trying to get the word out about post-traumatic weighing, which presents a new way to live with trauma. I mean, so Nielsen involved in all of that. So, honestly, it's been one of the great honors of my life. As I said, I have these experiences where I get to meet guys like Bob and then am accepted by guys like him. And I get to become a peer with guys, honestly, who were my heroes when I was a kid. And it's one of the great thrills of my life to be on the same team as those guys, because I've always looked up to him. And he is, he's one of those guys who doesn't stop giving. And, you know, and that's really, I mean, Bob deals with Vietnam by giving. And it is the lesson of post-traumatic winning, is you got to give. If you give, right, I mean, if you ask him out of Vietnam, if he ever thought he could go to a happy place like he visits and like he creates for other people and what that would mean in his own life. I mean, you know what the answer is going to be. No, I never had a clue. You know, but I had an instinct to help. And in that helping, I found a peaceful place. I found happiness. And you can keep Bob Nielsen away from helping veterans, right, if you put 10 stakes to his heart, right? Yeah, you couldn't. And so, two guys that have, Colonel Barnum, who's come on the program, have been a great friend, you know, who respects what Bob does. And then Bob and his family. So I just wanted to start the program with congratulating him on the Distinguished Citizen Award by the Congressional Medal of Honor Society. And let me tell you, they don't have a low bar. You know, what those guys consider a contribution, the rest of us would say, yeah, that's too much. I can't do that. And so anyhow, just want to say congratulations. And again, you know, Bob is You know, he's a post-traumatic winner. And he's a great example of it. And I mean, to me, it's so cool when you see it. You see it in life. And you see the passion people had. I mean, I was at the Air Force Academy. You know, I flew back yesterday, but when I presented it on Wednesday, you know, I've told you about the captain that introduced it. And that, I mean, he's so excited to speak about it now. And he has been for a while. And to see the enthusiasm in him and how his experience is making a difference. And it's just, you know, it's winning. It is winning. And that's why post-traumatic winning is the coolest thing. If you want to be cool, embrace post-traumatic winning. Go give and touch people's lives and watch what happens to your own. It's absolutely positively magical. So, I got a story to tell you about yesterday, and then we'll check a little bit of the news. And today, headed down to San Clemente to do post-traumatic winning for 2nd Battalion, 5th Marines. So fired up. I'm a 5th Marines dude a couple times in my career, so fired up to see the most decorated battalion in the history of the Marine Corps. That's the way they used to advertise it. I don't know if they still are, but they used to be. Yeah, they had that on their sign, for God's sake. And anyhow, excited to go be among them. But the venue is off base. It's at the Saddleback Church. And so you know what that means. I can't say the F word again. Like, what the hell? Trying to kill me with this stuff. Yeah, you can't say it in front of the Air Force. Now you can't say it at a church. Like, I've got to wait till I get to Camp Lejeune on Monday. Yeah, so I fly on Sunday and head back to North Carolina and then speaking stuff all week. And so, yeah, who's cooler than me? Nobody. All right, Whitney Houston. It is Friday. She sings the national anthem today. Happy Friday to everybody out there. Make the most of it over the weekend because the summer's coming to a close. Maybe it already has if your kids are already back in school. But nonetheless, happy Friday to everybody. And again, it's a good Friday because of the recognition of truly a post-traumatic winner with the Congressional Medal of Honor Society's Distinguished Citizen Award to Bob Nelson. So it is a good Friday.
Who's
Very nice on a Friday. And this is dedicated to the honoree of the Congressional Medal of Honor Society, and that is Bob Nielsen, a post-traumatic winner and inspiration to me, and the no-shit godfather of all Marine Radio and ultimately of post-traumatic winning. Without his support and encouragement, none of this stuff would be happening, which means that, you know, I mean, at the root of all the different lives that post-traumatic winning has touched now is Bob Nielsen. Without him, it wouldn't happen.
You're betraying your whole life if you don't say what you think, and you don't say it honestly and bluntly.
It defines us. It defines warriors like Gunnery Sergeant John Canley, a leader who led from the front. With his Marines outnumbered, he pushed forward during the Battle of Way City, standing tall during firefights and throwing himself into harm's way to keep his fellow Marines safe.
The only thing I was doing was just responding. The Marines, the young Marines, it shows them that it's not do as I say, it's do as I do. And just being that close with them brings motivation to them.
During firefights, when we'd be all hugging Mother Earth, he'd be standing up directing us. And I think if you talk to every Alpha Company Marine, we're amazed that he was never shot.
For this campus had prepared him well. I'm very confident that, thank you very much. If this was vodka, it'd be a lot better speech. But I'm not supposed to glamorize alcohol anymore, so young folks, you ignore what I just said.
What keeps you awake at night?
Nothing. I keep other people awake at night.
If you don't love your Marines, then you really ought to get out. The only reason I stuck around that low-paying outfit for 40 years is for the absolute pleasure of serving alongside cocky, rambunctious, disciplined, selfless, unbelievably selfless young Marines. And the infantry got its name, infant soldier, infantry, young soldier. And I enjoyed being around them. And in the military, it's all about the team. And so if you don't know the team players beyond simply their rank and last name, you don't care about them deeply. I mean, just go up to Bethesda any time you want to see the cost of war and see the ranks on the rooms that you're walking into. Lance Corporal here, Lance Corporal there, PFC here, Sergeant there, Lieutenant. If you don't care about these guys, don't expect them to care about what's important to you. They're putting their lives on the line.
I had a Vietnam vet tell me one time, Jeremiah, he goes, PTSD, it's like having a cage in your brain, it's like having a cage full of monkeys. The goal is to keep the monkeys in the cage, because once the bastards make the jailbreak, all hell breaks loose, so you want to keep them in the cage.
once you're out of the Corps, you know, it's your responsibility to live your life in a way that would honor those that were with you and died. I mean, don't waste your life. Goodness, do something meaningful and don't be going out there saying, look, oh, woe is me, I'm a poor veteran or I'm a disabled veteran. Well, yeah, I am a disabled veteran. But, you know, we can't have that kind of attitude. We've got to show people that, hey, we care about our country. We care about what happens to everyone. Marine Corps changed me. It made me a better man, but I don't know a Marine that wouldn't tell you the same thing, Mike.
We just have to execute. And we are executing every day, and Sergeant Major and I are very proud of what you do. Doesn't mean we can't get better. We don't want to make a mistake to learn. We don't want to lose to learn. We cannot lose if we have to go fight. We got to do what these Marines did here 75 years ago. Persevere against difficult, challenging conditions and odds and win. You got to win.
Time for us to do the Brian Fitzgibbons weather segment. Somebody said to me the other day, who the hell is this Fitzgibbons guy? I'm like, don't worry about it. They're like, really? Like that? I said, yeah. Boom, like that. All right, it is partly sunny at 74 in Quantico. It is mostly sunny in 81 at Camp Lejeune. Sun just coming up in 29 Palms at 77 degrees. Cloudy in 65 on the coast at Camp Pendleton. Camp Smith in Hawaii, dark cloudy in 81, so they've warmed up a little bit. Okinawa has stayed the same. Dark cloudy in 84. In Ramadi, in Iraq, it is sunny and 107. In Marja in Afghanistan, it is just getting into the evening, clear and 100 degrees. At the home of All Marine Radio, where we have two weather related warnings, doesn't make three. Beach hazard statement and a small craft advisory, which means it's going to be windy. Currently cloudy in 67. Looking for a high today of 76, 79 on Saturday, and 82 on Sunday. So that is a look at your weather. More of All Marine Radio coming up right here on your home for it. The one and only All Warrior Radio Network. Yeah, how about that? That's not bad, is it?
America's injured and critically ill service members face incredible challenges every day of their lives. Since 2004, the Semper Fi Fund has helped thousands of service members and their families with both immediate and long-term needs. Join the Semper Fi Fund in supporting American heroes. They've given so much. Now it's our turn. Learn how your tax-deductible donation makes a real difference in their lives at SemperFiFund.org.
All you veterans, listen up. This is Bob Nielsen, former Marine and founder of 100 Entrepreneurs Project. Turner Construction is looking for veterans with real-world leadership experience to join their team of professionals.
Hold on, Nielsen. Are we talking about a job or a career?
Matt, Turner Construction is a great company with global opportunities for veteran leaders who are looking to start professional careers. I know. I returned to Turner after I got back from Vietnam and retired after 50 years. I had a great career traveling the world leading teams of Turner employees as we built incredible projects.
Are they looking for me to have construction experience, Bob?
Absolutely not. Turner is looking for leaders who have led under pressure. We want leadership. So if you're led in Iraq or Afghanistan or any other contingency, Turner Construction is actively looking for you.
So a career with competitive pay, good benefits, and a company seeking veteran leaders. That's what we're talking about.
Bingo. We're on the right road when a grunt can understand it. Good job, Mac.
I appreciate that there, Nelson. How do I get the ball rolling? What do I do?
Just email your resume to jobs@allmarineradio.com, and I will personally contact you and we'll begin the process.
I love it. Turner Construction is looking for veteran leaders who are looking for careers to join their veteran-friendly team. Email Bob Nielsen at jobs@allmarineradio.com. Let's do it.
A message from DAV to all returning veterans. Thank you. Thank you for doing your duty. Thank you for doing our bidding. Thank you for laying it all on the line. Thank you for stepping up and not backing down. Thank you for putting your future on hold to put our enemies on notice. Thank you for putting your buddies' lives ahead of your own. Thank you for putting yourself in harm's way. Thank you for defending our freedom, for displaying your honor, for being a hero, even though you don't want to be called one. For all this and more, DAV thanks you, and we're here to help you. Expert DAV advisors will make sure you get the health, disability, and financial benefits you were promised and earned. If you're a veteran, visit DAV.org for free help. And again, thank you.
I'm good, but I have a story, and I don't know where to start.
I'm good, but I feel alone in a crowd.
I'm good, but the past keeps coming back.
When the service member or veteran in your life says,
I'm good.
Are you really listening?
I'm good, but I can't get out of bed.
I'm good, but I can't sleep.
I'm good, but I feel overwhelmed.
I'm good, but I don't feel safe.
I'm good, but I still have nightmares.
I'm good, but I don't need any help.
I'm good, but I don't feel anything anymore.
I'm good, but I can't live like this anymore.
I'm really not so good. Are you ready to listen?
Suicide prevention is everyone's responsibility. Listen to the veteran or service member in your life. If you are in crisis or know someone who is, call the Veterans Crisis Line and Military Crisis Line at 1-800-273-8255 and press 1 for free 24/7 confidential support.
Hi, I'm Colleen McNamara, and you're listening to My Dad on All Marine Radio on the All Warrior Radio Network.
I want to walk into a cold, bitter ocean, feel the sting of letting go of all hope and soak in the
Peyton Davis celebrating her one-year anniversary of coming on All Marine Radio yesterday.
Till I break down in nowhere.
Or Wednesday.
Crying tears when I reach there, I breathe.
Yeah, without Bob Nielsen, Peyton Davis doesn't happen.
But I know.
So, I'm flying home yesterday, and I leave Denver, like, supposedly Denver at 9:42. Everything goes smooth, get up, leave, and get to the airport in plenty of time, get to the gate, everything's fine, get on the airplane, everything's fine. We're a little late taking off, but it's all right. But I'm supposed to land at about 11:07. I live 5 minutes from the airport, and I'm supposed to interview General Zinni at noon, and get off the plane. Took too long to taxi, in my opinion, but that's all right. Go down to pick up my bag, and the conveyor belt breaks. So now I've got to call General Zinni and say, "Hey, sir, I'm gonna be a few minutes late. I just want to warn you." He said, and he very graciously, "No problem, Mac." Give me a call when you get home. So I was about 15 minutes late. Came home, saw Jack and Joe. They threw a fit. And got my act together. And then talked to General Zinni for 2.5 hours. And the interview's awesome. The interview's awesome. I'm not going to lie to you. He's great. I mean, he's got a big personality, and he's smart as hell, and it comes through in everything he does. So anyway, traveling yesterday. And as I said, go down today to do post-traumatic winning with 2-5, and then change more lives today, and then do it next week as well. So, and then after that, I think I'm home for a couple weeks, and then to D.C. for the Modern Marine Expo. So I'll present it there a couple times. Hang out with those dudes, and then back home. And then there's a whole, I don't know, maybe 4 units. And then I go back to Colorado Springs in October. Yeah, that's exciting to do it for their General Officer Symposium. And so anyway. Big stuff going on. But yesterday, to a chance to interview General Zinni, come on, man. Love that. Absolutely love that. We'll take a check of the news this morning. Most of you would know this, but the Pentagon identified 2 Green Beret soldiers killed in Afghanistan. Master Sergeant Luis De Leon Figueroa, 31, and Master Sergeant Jose Gonzalez, 35, were both assigned to the 7th Special Forces Group, airborne out of Eglin Air Force Base in Florida, the Pentagon said. So keep their families in your thoughts and prayers. And as they were killed in Afghanistan, both died as a result of wounds sustained from small arms fire, according to the Pentagon. Quote, it was an honor having them serve within the ranks of the 7th Special Forces Group. They were a part of our family and will not be forgotten, said Group Commander John W. Sains in a statement. Our priority is now to provide the best possible care to their families of our fallen warriors. This incident comes 3 weeks after 2 other American soldiers were shot by an Afghan soldier in an insider attack in Kandahar province. I'm looking for information that talks about where they were killed. I don't see any. Where they give the location or the circumstance. But, you know, make no mistake, I mean, this is what the Taliban wants to do, because they know the American center of gravity now is no different than it was during the Vietnam War, and it comes right through that television set. And if you studied anything about Americans, I mean, you can watch the video in 2004, an election year, where the 1st Marine Division got told to stand down from going into Fallujah, because the video coming back was not what the president needed to get reelected. So what goes through our TV is our center of gravity, and so killing Americans is at a premium. Next story, the FBI takes down Nigerians pretending to be U.S. troops in a $46 million romance scam. Yeah, it makes me winning the Nigerian lottery crazy. The relationship between a Japanese woman and a U.S. Army captain stationed in Syria started online through an international social network for digital pen pals. It grew to an internet romance over 10 months of daily emails. It ended with the woman $200,000 poorer and on the verge of bankruptcy after borrowing money from her sister, ex-husband, and friends to help Captain Terry Garcia with his plan to smuggle diamonds out of Syria. In reality, there were no diamonds, and there was no Garcia. They were part of an elaborate scam hatched by an international ring of cyber thieves operating mainly out of Los Angeles and Nigeria. Federal authorities cited the case of the Japanese woman known only as F.K. in court papers on Thursday when they announced the indictment charging 80 people with stealing at least $46 million through various schemes that targeted businesses, the elderly, and anyone susceptible to a romance scheme. Most of the defendants are Nigerians. We believe this is one of the largest cases of its kind in U.S. history. You know what I don't understand about criminals is that's a lot of money. If you're extorting that kind of money, why don't you, after you get a few million, why don't you call it good and go home? In a story that we've been following, an investigation that we've been following, this is from the Washington Post in Stars and Stripes headline, Marine failed to properly unload his pistol before fatally shooting a fellow Marine, according to prosecutors. A fatal shooting in January at the Marine barracks on Capitol Hill occurred because a Marine Lance Corporal failed to properly unload his pistol after a guard ship then pointed the weapon at a fellow Marine and pulled the trigger as a joke, unaware that a bullet was in the firing chamber, a prosecutor said on Thursday. Lance Corporal Andrew Johnson, charged with unpremeditated murder and several offenses related to his alleged careless handling of firearms, appeared at a preliminary hearing in a courtroom on the Marine base here. A military judge has not yet ruled on whether the evidence against him is sufficient to warrant prosecution. The victim of the New Year's Day shooting, Lance Corporal Riley Kuznia, 20, from Carlstead, Minnesota, was, quote, my friend, my brother, Johnson said in a brief statement to the judge. I live every day with what happened, and I'll live with it every day for the rest of my life. Pending the outcome of the case, Johnson, from Plymouth, Massachusetts, has been assigned to an unarmed administrative unit at the Marine Barracks at 8-9. Johnson, who entered the military in July of 2017, appeared to be in his early 20s. A spokesman said he was not authorized to disclose Johnson's age. Addressing the court, the prosecutor, Marine Captain Brenda McKenna, described an escalation of misconduct by Johnson last fall and winter, in which he allegedly brandished his Marine-issued Beretta pistol recklessly on two occasions before the unintentional fatal shooting. After a guard shift, guards at the Marine barracks are required to unload their sidearms in the presence of a supervisor to ensure that the guns are rendered safe, McKenna said. First, he said, the 15-round clip is removed from the pistol. Then the slide is pulled back, ejecting the bullet from the firing chamber, leaving the weapon empty. Right? All pretty basic stuff, especially when you're in a part of a guard unit. That is the daily nuts and bolts of inspecting, making sure that the weapons you handle are safe. So I'm kind of curious. How, when he gets off guard duty, does nobody inspect his weapon? Does somebody not force him to do it? He's a Lance Corporal. Shortly before 5 a.m. on 1 January, after finishing his tour of guard duty, Johnson unloaded his Beretta alone rather than wait for his supervisor to watch him. He said investigators later concluded that Johnson fatally reversed the unloading steps. First, he pulled back the pistol slide, ejecting the bullet from the chamber, but apparently he did not remember that when the slide sprung forward, it pushed a fresh round into the chamber. Then he removed the clip, brought the weapon, and thought the weapon was empty. Moments later, Johnson pointed the gun at Kuznia and said, laughing, called out his friend's nickname, Kuz, and squeezed the trigger. After the gun went off and Kuznia collapsed, wounded in the head, Johnson immediately became distraught and dropped the pistol, McKenna said. No witnesses testified at the Article 32. Yesterday, McKenna said that lead defense lawyer Marine Major Joshua Aukert submitted documentary evidence, including investigative reports, and made other oral arguments. You know, and, you know, we talk about discipline, right? Who was supposed to inspect him? Why didn't they inspect him? You know, and you say these things when you talk to, you know, Marines, and they just roll their eyes, right? But, you know, it certainly helps, as tragic as it is, you know, that every guard unit in the Marine Corps, you know, reads a story. This is why we do it by the numbers, boys and girls. This is why we do it by the numbers. You know, and it doesn't, right, it doesn't apply to, you know, those rules, you know, ha, 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 ha. You know, we do it. We know what's going on. And that's the kind of attitude that gets people killed. Interesting, I was part of the Air Force, the 10th Air Base Wing at the United States Air Force Academy's suicide standout. There's a story about at Lake and Heath, I think in the UK, takes action against suicide with a stand down, bike ride, and cups of tea. So you'll see stories about that as the Air Force gets after this issue. Coincidentally, coincidentally, high levels of toxic chemicals are found in the groundwater at the Air Force Academy. What? Wait a minute, why didn't somebody tell me that before I went? So that is in the news. Again, I haven't been there since I was, I think, a little kid, but holy smokes, what a beautiful place. Absolutely, positively beautiful place, sitting there right at the foot of the mountains. They say they have, because of the mountains, they have their own little weather pattern that's separate from Colorado Springs. So, kind of interesting. So, those are headlines in Stars and Stripes. The new CNO sent his first message to the force. The so we'll take a listen to that. See what Admiral Gilday's message is. All right, here you go. Stand by. He looks different in this. Here you go.
I'm Admiral Mike Gilday, and I'm humbled and honored to be your Chief of Naval Operations. Together, we are part of the greatest Navy in the world. And everyone on our team, officers and enlisted sailors, active and reserved, uniform and civilian, all play an important role in making sure we not only remain the greatest Navy in the world, but that we get even better. For the first time in a very long time, we face serious challenges at sea, around the globe. For decades, we have taken for granted that no other blue water Navy would dare take us on. That's no longer true. The United States Navy has been, and will continue to be, a global force for security and stability. But there are other nations who would use their maritime forces to threaten the freedom of the seas, to intimidate their neighbors, or to coerce others in violation of international law. Those maritime forces are growing in numbers and in strength. Still, there are others who know they cannot take us on at sea, but will try to attack our Navy in other areas, like cyber. Rapidly modernizing our Navy and keeping pace with technology will remain a priority for us. But I still believe what my first chief told me, that people are our most important weapon system. A well-trained force is our competitive advantage. I look forward to hearing from leaders at every level at how we can continue to make improvements for sailors and their families. And I have a great sense of urgency to get after solutions to the challenges we face. In the coming weeks, my first priority will be visiting with many of you. I will work with leaders in our fleets, with our Marine Corps teammates, and with our other joint partners as we develop our way ahead to meet these challenges. We will question our assumptions. We will think differently about the competition we are now in. We will be the Navy the nation needs now, and we will build the Navy the nation needs to fight and win in the future. What remains constant are our core values of honor, courage, and commitment. We will remain true to our core attributes of integrity, accountability, initiative, and toughness. We will remain the premier Navy in the world, and I know we will be even better tomorrow than we are today. Thank you for all you do for our Navy and for each other, and I'll see you out in the fleet.
Let it have it in his own words, the new Chief of Naval Operations. I learned how to say his name, Gilday. So, anyway, good luck to him. Don't screw it up. Admiral Richardson retires. Another headline, SECNAV. Richard Spencer expanding the JAG review to include the Marine legal community. So this has been a pretty little interesting development, started by the CNO after the Gallagher court-martial, and it was to undergo, people got relieved, soft relieved, which is we're going to do the change of command early. There will be no formation. We'll do it here in the office, and then we'll move on. Anyway, called soft relieving somebody. So there was a series of release, late, happened after hours, happened over the weekend, as CNO, I think, tried to get those things in order before he left that job. So here's the announcement it was announced that the Navy would take a look at their JAG force in the wake of that court-martial. Here's a statement from Secretary of the Navy. Secretary of the Navy Richard V. Spencer, in full coordination with the Commandant of the Marine Corps, has directed an expansion of the U.S. Navy's comprehensive review of the Judge Advocate General Corps to include U.S. Marine Corps Judge Advocates. There is value in applying this review and its subsequent recommendations across the Department of the Navy. The review's purpose is to confirm the uniform legal community is structurally and organizationally sound and best supporting the good order and discipline of our integrated service. According to a copy of the memo, these reviews are intended to ensure the Navy JAG and Marine Corps SJA legal communities are organized, manned, trained, and equipped to support the Department's mission. The review will be conducted in parallel to a review directed by former Chief of Naval Operations Admiral John Richardson, who early this month ordered a wholesale review. Prosecutors and NCIS agents attempted to spy on the defense team and a reporter covering the case. After the trial, other members of the government's legal team were awarded citations that drew the ire of President Donald Trump. Richardson, who ordered the review carried out by Vice Chief of Naval Operations Robert Burke, told USNI News that it was time to get a fresh perspective on the JAG Corps. Quote, I think it's just about time that we step back and took a look at the community, and it's time for a vigorous assessment. And so we're going to strike the right note. We're going to get a lot of different perspectives inside and outside of the Navy, he told USNI News earlier this month in an interview. We're going to put a nice, concise time limit on this thing. We don't want it to go on forever. And then we'll get a product that I'm absolutely confident will be very helpful in making sure our JAG community, which is a small part of our Navy, but a very important part of our Navy, is as sharp as they can possibly be in the service of our Navy to our nation. On Thursday, the memo gave a 15-day deadline to outline the scope of the review of both services and 90 days to complete a report on how well the Navy and the Marine Corps legal communities support the goals of the Department of the Navy. Two former Marine lawyers praised the decision when contacted by USNI News. Let's see, who's the first one? Robert Butch Brackle. One. Brian Beauford. Quote, the Navy JAG community's comprehensive review came on the heels of a handful of highly publicized cases that involved perceived errors, gaffes, and unethical conduct by Navy lawyers. Like the Surface Force Comprehensive Review, which was spurred by the McCain and the Fitzgerald collision, I suspect these seminal events were merely the culminating points for concern that have been building for a while, said Robert Butch Bracknell on Thursday, former Marine SJA. Quote, I don't sense the same level of concern with the performance of the Marine Corps, though the Corps has had several high-profile embarrassments in military justice cases over the past few years, which warrant a fresh look at the community's practices. And then this is Brian Beauford. A review like this is long overdue, frankly. I'm hopeful that it will be conducted intelligently and honestly, but experience has shown that the government isn't super great at self-reflection. A lot of general officers and their staff judge advocates will need to be able to look at themselves critically, because that's the level where moral courage tends to be in short supply. Whoa! I've got to track him down, Brian Beauford. And let me tell you, I mean, you know, we've talked about that issue on this program. Who advises, right, when this stuff is going wrong, who advises the convening authority? Right? Who advises the commanding general? Who sets these things in motion? What happens if the SG, that guy's, I mean, the CG, he's not a legal expert. What happens if his SJA is average or not up to it morally? What's the old saying, garbage in, garbage out? How do you protect against that? Yeah. So, interesting stuff. I need to see if I can track down Brian Beauford. Pretty interesting little comment there in public. You tend not to see that. Marine Corps Times, they've got another story about the Marine involved in the D.C. shooting. May have been unaware that the gun was loaded. Yeah, that's not the way that... First of all weapons are assumed to be loaded. That's why you don't point them at people, right? Second of all, when you're armed and you make your living with weapons, when you unload the weapon, somebody inspects the weapon. Somebody stands there when you're a Lance Corporal and does it. That didn't occur. In a story that's a couple days old, General Berger made comments that said that he worries about the Japan-Korea relationship because it makes life more difficult. That kind of, you know, rippled through the news cycle. There's no story about the two U.S. Green Berets that were killed in Afghanistan. I just want to see if there's any other details. And there are none. All details being withheld pending notification of their next of kin. Clashing statements on a series of Iraq attacks exposed a rift in paramilitary forces. The head of Iraq's paramilitary forces, supported by Iran, on Thursday walked back a statement by his deputy the day before in which he blamed Israeli drones and held the U.S. responsible for a series of attacks on bases run by the militias. I mean, this is the stupid nonsense that you deal with. Falah al-Fayyada said the statement by his deputy, Abu Mahdi al-Muhandis, did not represent the view of the mainly Shiite militias known as the Popular Mobilization Forces or the view of the Iraqi government. Al-Fayyad's statements allegedly... Oops. Al-Fayyad's statements allege the attacks on the bases over the past weeks were a result of an act organized by a foreign side, but refrain from naming that side. All right. The statements highlight divisions within the paramilitary force, which is headed by Al-Fayyad, but practically run by his deputy, a powerful military commander known for his anti-American sentiments. The militia group's website published only Al-Mundis's statement on Thursday. So, again, not a surprise, but interesting. And who would conduct such attacks, right? Who would, Sunnis maybe? Their historical enemy. Top five stories in early bird, and then the chef's going to join us. Number one, SecNav. It's written, some of the headline writer wrote, NavSec. SecNav orders comprehensive review of Navy Marine Corps JAGs. Number two, two Green Berets killed in Afghanistan with no further details. Number three, Trump finds an unlikely ally in Greenland aspirations, Iran. Yeah, if you feel like reading that, go ahead. Number four, Chinese military says Taiwan $8 billion deal to buy U.S. F-16 fighter jets is a waste of money because they will be useless against the People's Liberation Army. And he also, the Chinese general also went on to make other threats and said that China will not sit idly by while this happens and that there will be other repercussions in the region. So, again, it's the Chinese have gotten bolder and bolder, right? And the narrative that China, although they've never ruled Taiwan, there's no historical claim to it. They just say that it belongs to us. You can't sail through the Straits of Taiwan. It is, it is the emperor's new clothes again. And when you say, you know what, they're sovereign people, right? Your nonsense aside, they rule themselves. And if they want to buy American hardware to defend their nation, that's their right. And if you don't like it, lump it. And then when you say that, now there's going to be, economic repercussions. And this is the way China has come on to the world scene. So, again, it's always interesting to watch this dance that gets done. And everybody backs down to them. The fifth story in the early bird is Turkey's Patriot missile defense offer is dead after the delivery of the S-400 anti-air defense system from the Russians. Some overseas operational stuff. U.S. and the Taliban resumed talks on ending the war in Afghanistan. But again, I think that you see more and more people coming out expressing concerns. How will this end for the poor people of Afghanistan? And then there's another, there's been a whole series of stories written about the Japan-South Korea dispute that dates back to World War II. The biggest winner in all of that, according to this headline, China. All right, we'll take a break. When we come back, the All-Marine Radio chef will join us. So don't touch that dial. More of All-Marine Radio coming up next, right here on your home for it, the All-Warrior Radio Network.